Blessing our hearts as we worship today. It's good to see you. If you're a guest with us, welcome. We are so delighted to have you. Let me invite you, please, to join me in your Bibles by turning to Philippians chapter 2. For some weeks, we have been just working through the book of Philippians and looking at choosing joy as something that we need to make a practice of our life in Christ. So today, we'll begin reading at verse 12. Paul writes these words, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. As you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the music that just brings us into your presence, that helps us to just orient ourselves with you and helps us to open our hearts to the presence of your Spirit among us and brings our hearts together from wherever we are coming just to be united to sing praises. Father, thank you for your word and the incredible reality that although these are ancient words in one way, in another way, there is nothing ancient about them at all. It was as if we woke up this morning and there they were just for us. So we come to them, we open our hearts, we want to be challenged, we want to grow, we want to reflect Christ. And help us to do that as followers of Christ, as individuals, and as a church family. For that is our prayer today, in Jesus' name, amen. This is a passage that I just have enjoyed so very much because throughout the week it has been a challenge to me. I think oftentimes people think that preachers get up and, you know, they say things to other people without having to go through the process that before you ever hear this stuff, God reveals it. I open my heart to God. And there are hard things in His Word that I would really like to say, you know what, God, I think I would feel better if I could just press on and not have to deal with this, and God's doing something in me, and there's conviction in my own heart. And God says, Brian, don't expect anything else for my Spirit to work in the hearts of people if you're not going to bring your own heart to it and allow me to transform you. And so this is a passage of Scripture that brings transformation. I have loved being in it all week. At the same time, I'm troubled in my own life about having to deal with it. So let's just give it a go and just let God speak to us and let the Spirit do what He wishes to do. Paul writes that he's writing to his friends, he's writing to the Philippians, and he's commending them. He's saying, you know, when I knew you, and I was with you, the obedience that you had to Christ was very remarkable. People talked about it. I could see it in you. I could see it in your church fellowship. And now that I can't be with you, I just want you to know that you can continue in that same kind of relationship that you had with Jesus Christ. It doesn't take me being with you. You just keep maintaining in the way that you already have, in the way that you know how to do. You know how to have that relationship and do it. But here's the part that has for centuries turned anybody who reads the Scripture, even theologians and scholars, upside down. Paul writes these words, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the issue, as you could probably imagine, is not difficult to identify what's going on. Because I always thought, and you probably always thought, I had always heard that salvation is the work that who does? I know I can't do it, so who do I expect to do salvation stuff? God, Christ. What can I do to save myself? Nothing. So y'all do know me too well. He said, okay, and Brian, in your case, you could do nothing. Well, guess what? In your case, the same applies. There is nothing in the world that you could do to ever save yourself. And I'm good with that. I am glad that Jesus Christ, when he died, it wasn't that it was a partial salvation. It wasn't that it was a percentage salvation. It was a complete and total death. And when he was raised from the dead, it was a complete and total resurrection. And when I confessed him as my Lord and Savior, it was a complete and total recognition that he does all the saving. He did all the work, and I can do nothing but repent and receive it by grace. But he gets total credit for salvation. We don't get to split this deal in any way whatsoever. So, having said that, how much credit can I take for my salvation? That's right. It's kind of like I can't even take credit for my good looks either. So I can't take credit for my salvation. I can't take credit for, so many things in life. I cannot ever say to any, I just was so close to God. I was so committed. I just looked so much. I can take a small portion of credit for my salvation. I can't do that. And then all of a sudden, Paul turns this thing and he says, work out your own salvation. Well, I tell you, I thought that was the very thing I couldn't do. Work out your salvation. So, let's camp here for just a moment and see where he's going and how that is different from the way we may have heard things. Notice that Paul did not say, work for your salvation. Because you can't, right? We understand that. We agreed to that. He did not say, work for your salvation. If you work hard enough, God will save you. If you do enough Jesus things, Jesus will say, wow, that was a good one. I'll save them. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, work out your salvation or work out of your salvation. In other words, what he is saying is, he's fully agreeing that God does the work of salvation, Jesus fully died, Jesus is fully risen, Jesus gets all the credit for any salvation that happens in anybody's life, in any generation, at any time, anywhere around the world. Salvation is a Jesus glory to God thing only. No glory to a church, no glory to a preacher, no glory to a deacon, no glory to anybody else. It's a Jesus work. And then Paul says, work out your salvation. This is what he's saying. He's saying, since God has done that kind of work in your life, whatever you do, then work from the position of the salvation that you have received in Jesus Christ. Work out of that salvation. All right? Work your life out of the reality of what God has done for you. He did the whole salvation thing. And what Paul is saying is, since God has done the entire salvation thing, as followers of Jesus, let us walk in what he worked out. Let us work out of that salvation. Let me give an illustration of how this works. Because it happened this week, I've never thought of it in this context, but it really helped me put something together that I just hadn't. So, I've been sharing with you from time to time on most Sundays that as issues kind of arise, we have a sustainment team. We want to hear everything. We want to be able to process everything. We want every issue from anybody to have a platform, to be clearly heard, to be honored, for anybody from whatever, to be fully and totally loved and all of that. So, as you know, this week we met several people from our church, several people from Freedom Life, and we have a long list, 14, 15 or so issues that we're all working through. And what occurred to me as we were going into that meeting was this, that there's nothing anybody could do in that meeting to save anybody. We all knew that. That's not news. But what we were doing when we met together and tried to go through and look at all of the perspectives and hear all the voices and just present stuff to God and hear each other and hear what God was doing, do you know what we were doing in that meeting? We were working out our salvation. I never thought about it like that. We were working out our salvation. What doesn't come through in this translation, in most of our English translations, is that when Paul said, work out your salvation, I always thought he meant I was supposed to work out my salvation. Although there's truth in that, it is the plural you. Just doesn't, Greek, when it translates into English, just doesn't let you know that. You know what he's really saying? He's saying to the church, he's saying, you as a church, work out your salvation. You're in Philippi here. Let's talk to this church. You're in Philippi. You're a Roman colony. The world is looking at you. God has done something. Christ has saved you. You are his people. You are a colony of heaven on earth. So work out your salvation so that the rest of Philippi can see what salvation looks like. And through you, the rest of the world can see what a colony of heaven looks like. He's talking to us. He's talking to us as a church family, that when we are together, that when we share life together, that whether there are issues or whether we are praying or singing or worshiping or we see things completely opposite and differently, we are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not with the fear and trembling that we are, a lightning storm is coming and we're a three-year-old child. But the fear and trembling that this is holy work, that when we work out our salvation, that we are actually working out of what God has already done, and it is in that sense of entering into God's work that we recognize the sacredness and the holiness of working our salvation out as a people. You see how that works? Now, this is absolutely mind-blowing to me and beautiful to me that we get to work out our salvation. And then, as if, I mean, that's not it. Paul goes on to say, it is who that works in you to do all of this stuff? It's God. Here's the beautiful thing. God does all the saving. Paul comes along and says, work out your salvation. You're a church family. You're a people of faith. Work it out. Work out your salvation so that it looks like salvation to a lost world. So that no matter what your issues are, no matter what your agreements are, no matter what your disagreements are, whatever you're up against, work out your salvation to the glory of God. And the world will see that, and they will see what salvation looks like, because everybody knows we're different. We all have different ways we see things and experience things. And when the world looks at somebody that works out their salvation, it most definitely gets their attention. This is not like a group of politicians trying to work out an issue at Washington. But here's the trouble. Most churches look more like Washington than they do like the Church of the Living Jesus Christ. And the world gets tired of it in both places. The world is looking for somebody who can work out their issues and love each other while they do it, and be honest with each other while they do it, and live with each other while they do it, and love and work and worship with each other while they do it, because they won't see it anywhere else. And God has called us to be a people who pour ourselves out to work out his salvation, because it's not about our pleasure. Paul goes on to say it's about whose pleasure? It's God's pleasure that's at stake here. It's his pleasure. And so we come to this, and you know, you can't plan this. I planned this series out 2 months ago. You just cannot plan this stuff as it happens. And Paul goes on to say, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is not going to let us alone. It's not like God said, this is what I'm going to do, and then this is what you're going to do. God said, you know what? I know you're the ones that have to work out your salvation. I can't help myself. I'm going to get in there with you, and I'm going to energize you. If you will work out your salvation, I'll energize you. If you work out your salvation, I'll walk with you. If you work out your salvation, quite honestly, if you trust me, I'll really do the hard work with it. I just need you to get in there and play the game and work it out and not draw away from each other, but draw toward each other. Not walk away from each other, but walk with each other. And if you will do that, I'll give you all the energy. All of heaven's energy is at our disposal. But if we don't do it, Paul goes on to say, I think, because I took a peek at this. Look at the very next thing. Do everything without what? Now, you remember, you said this and not me. Do everything without grumbling or... It's okay. Or arguing. So that we might become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Here's the deal. God does salvation. He calls on us as a group to work out that salvation, and He'll energize us. All of that is to God's pleasure. This is not God saying, what do you want? This is not God saying, what's your personal preference? This is all about God's pleasure, and so God will provide the energy to make that happen. Now, there's one way to stop what God wants to do. What is that? To argue amongst each other and to do what? And to complain. Those are the breaks to what God wants to do. That's the thing. Now, God's not going to force you or force me to do something that in my heart I'm not willing to do. Okay, you have children or grandchildren. Yesterday, we took our grandsons, who are 3 and 7, my wife and our daughter, took them to Busch Gardens. Now, was that a fun day? It was supposed to be. What is the only thing in the world that would make that a no fun day, apart from 20 other thousand people who had the same idea? If you set all that aside, who are the only people among the 5 I just told you who could make that an unfun day? The kids. I was excited to go because I love Busch Gardens. I love hanging out. I love not being where I can hear my phone ring so I can hear the latest. I love not checking my text. I love seeing other people. I love seeing other people with children who've done what we have done, and they're trying to deal with their kids. I was like, it's just incredible. I just love watching other people. I love watching them eat. I love going to the plays. I love just walking around. I love not thinking much about anything. I love to see, do I see a familiar face? I mean, it's just, to me, it's sheer pleasure. I love it. It's like a little day away from everything else in life. So we're at Busch Gardens, and of the 5 of us, one of them did not want to be there. So of those 5, how many did that one impact? Impacted not only us, but the other thousands of people who were there as well. That one little 3-year-old who kept saying, I want to go home. Put us on our, I mean, we were thinking, we are sorry we ever left home. And it wouldn't stop. There was nothing that could make him happy on that particular day. And as a result, what should have been the most fun day of the week, of the month, turned out to be a struggle of wills. And while I was looking around and every other kid on planet Earth was having fun, the one that I was responsible for as Papa was throwing a fit. That was not fun. No ride was fun. He ain't going to eat no chicken nuggets. He's not going to eat no French fries. It's just not fun. And there was nothing I could do to change his will because he had decided. So here's the deal. If we all come around and get consumed by His will, we would end up where? Just like Him. See how that happens? So we say, you know what? We're going to have fun. Pawpaw's going to eat these ribs and this brisket. And you're going to sit there if you have to and watch him eat this stuff. And if you don't eat, you don't get ice cream. And when Papa and Gigi, when they're eating their ice cream, if you don't eat your stuff, you're not going to eat ice cream. But you're not going to take our ice cream away from us. You're a powerful little kid, but you're not going to rob Papa of his ice cream. That's not going to happen. And in real life relationships, in real life churches, in real life places of work, in real life families, these are the dynamics that go on with all of us. And in churches, it is the same thing that happens to us. And at the end of the day, every church family everywhere will make a critical decision. Now, we are at a crucial place. We have been for a very long time as a church family. We will either decide to be a pleasure to God and have the mind of Christ and to choose joy and to work out our salvation, or we will decide to go down the path of criticism and argumentation, and nothing on planet Earth will ever make you happy. Those are the choices, and God will let you choose. He'll let you choose. He will energize one but not the other, but you get to choose. He will walk with you on one, but not on the other, but you get to choose the path. Right? When we choose joy, all of heaven is available to us, all the resources of heaven. God is pleased, Jesus works, the Spirit is doing what the Spirit does, and everything will do as God moves along. If we choose the path of just turning in on each other and we're criticizing and we're argumentative and we do all of that, God will take a step back, and at the end of the day, this happens anywhere, we can do all of that stuff, any church could, you can do all of that stuff until you say to the last person standing, please cut the lights out when you leave, because no one's coming back in. Right? This is why we have to work out our salvation. Every church does. Ivy does. I can't tell you how many hundreds of couples I've stood before them and gone through the vows, and everybody said, we do, we do, we do, we do, I do, here's a ring, I now pronounce you a husband and wife. How many young couples have left the presence of God? And if I could pronounce the words, you are now husband and wife, and that was all there was to a marriage, what percentage of marriages would still be successful if saying those words was enough? How many would make it? All of them. I say those words at every wedding. But what's the real number on this? How many of those marriages, in fact, will make it, statistically speaking? About half of them. Did I not say the right word? Did I mess up their ceremony? Did I forget to say something? No, you know what happens? It is easy to get people married. I have nothing. I can say those words all day long. I could take one couple after another and legally, legitimately have them married right here before your eyes, and those words mean absolutely nothing unless they spend the rest of their life working out their marriage. If they don't work out their marriage day in and day out, what's going to happen? They're not going to be able to have a marriage. That's why Paul says to the church, that's why he says to us, we are to work out our salvation. God did the work. He invites us into what He has done. We have a choice. We can work out our salvation, or we can draw swords on each other. And God says, you know, you get to choose this thing. I'll walk with you if you're going to work out your salvation. You've got each other, and you can consume each other if you just want to go at each other. But I'm not going to be a part of that. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. That's not how I work in people's lives. That doesn't honor me. That doesn't please me. That doesn't show the world the love of Christ. And so we have a choice. We have a choice. And we are at that time of choice. We are there. We can work out our salvation and let heaven drown us in goodness and grace and love and future. Or we can just take each other out until nobody's left to do the work of God. And you get to choose. You make that choice. Together, we make that choice. If any church decides to turn on itself, God will let you have, God will let us have that choice, and He will not try to bend our will. It's just not like Jesus to do that. He doesn't go running after people, and I don't do that. I don't go running after people. I never saw Jesus do it one time. But if you want to be a part of something that God is doing in His kingdom, He wants everybody in. He wants everybody participating. He's got a place for every single person. Not a single person has to sit on the bench. Not a single, when I go to softball, when I play and so forth, or when I show up, what I want to do is get in on the game. I do not have fun watching others play the game. I have fun when I am in the game. And what God is saying to His church is, if you want to get in on the game, here's the field. I'm going to energize you. I'm going to play. I'm going to be with you. You will survive. You will have an incredible future if you let me be the one that you're pleasing. If you have your eyes set on me, because if I turn them in on me, if I turn them in on somebody else, we will mess up. You cannot please yourself or somebody else and Jesus at the same time. You got to make a choice. And God has called us to be His people. We are a wonderful people. This is a beautiful church family. And like any people in any relationship, we have a legitimate and real moment of time in which we now live, in which we now face. And this could be the sweetest time that we have had, because God just descends because we say, we invite, we say, God, we made our choice. We've chosen joy. We choose the advancing of the gospel. And we choose to be lights, Paul says, in a world that is dark. The reason why most churches aren't making it these days is because they have no more light to offer the world than a sports team, than a political party, than a business, or anybody else on the block. But when churches get together and the Holy Spirit does His work, all of a sudden, the people on the corner, the people across the way, the people in the business, your neighbor, your coworker, friends far and wide, it's as if they look into the night of all that they are experiencing in their life, and all of a sudden, there's a light of hope. There's a star. There's something that is shining. There's a place where we can go. What could that possibly be? What light is there in the night sky? And when they look at it, they realize it is the people of God, energized by the Spirit, who have chosen joy, who have chosen a future, who are living together, who are working out their salvation. Nobody else is doing it. No other institution on planet Earth is doing it, and God has called His people to do it, and we get to do it. If we do it, we would be like a star in a very dark night. And we would be a guide and a hope to people who have seen all the darkness they could possibly take, and they have looked everywhere for one glimmer of light. and haven't found it or seen it yet, and all of a sudden, right here on this corner, at 2200 Coliseum Drive, there's light. And those people see it, and those people see it, and those people see it, and they see it because we made a commitment that at all costs, this was not about pleasing us, it was about pleasing God. And as such, we are going to work out our salvation. It means that much. It means that much. If your marriage means something to you, you work it out. If your kids mean something to you, you work it out. And if your church means something to you, you do what? You work it out. Because you love it. And God will energize. And at the end of the day, the wholeness that comes, the healing that comes, the strength that comes, the testimony that comes, the witness that is born, the worship level starts to skyrocket. I mean, the singing as good as it gets, and the instrument and all the things that we already have that are already, I mean, just by the nature of so many of us gathering, I mean, the whole thing just begins to escalate to places we haven't experienced yet because we're working out our salvation. So I'm going to challenge you today as we sing. I'm going to challenge you, I'm challenging us to make a critical moment decision to decide here and now that you, that I, am making 100% commitment to working out the salvation of this church. I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you to, if several of us come, we'll have a prayer group, then we'll have another prayer group. If you want to kneel in silence, if you want to pray where you are, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, however you want to respond, but I'm going to challenge us to make it clear on this day that we're making a commitment before God, just bringing whoever we have today and whatever we are today before Him to work out our salvation to His pleasure and to His glory for the sake of the honor of His name. Would you stand with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the words that challenge us, the words that were written in another day, another culture, another time, another people, and yet because of Your Spirit, they might as well have been written on this day to our church family, to us. So we stand before these words, and we open our hearts to them, and we make a decision today. We help define that decision. We help shape that decision. Father, I want it to be very clear that for me, I want to give myself in any way that I'm created and called to work out the salvation of this beautiful church family. I thank You for those who've already made that kind of commitment and for those who might be making it today and those that You're calling to do that, that we would step together, step alongside of each other, step with each other, work out Your salvation as You energize us so that we can be lights in a very dark world. So, Father, we come. And as we do come, give us the strength, energize us to work out Your salvation among us. For this is our prayer today, in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you to come. We'll pray together. Let's work out the salvation God has given us as a gift together. Let's come.
In His presence.
very much. What a beautiful way to spend Memorial Day weekend. And I hope this is something that God plants in our Ivy memory that will last for years and years to come. We'll remember what God called us to on this day. Let me remind you, please, as you go, that this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we will have a called churchwide business meeting for the purposes of talking about, and if there's anything else to talk about, and voting on our constitution and bylaws, and also a motion that you'll have briefly explained to you that basically will help this property to be joined to all of that green property over there. I don't understand any of this. If it's not in the Bible, I don't get it. And if it is, it's only a 50% chance. So anyway, all of those who deal with legal things, thank you. And basically a vote just so all of this can be one property for the purpose of extending parking space and those kinds of issues. So you'll get the scoop on all of that, and we'll do that on Wednesday night, the 6 o'clock. Thank you. The Wednesday night after that will be June 6th, and we'll do our first summer going green. And we'll just see, you know, how it goes, which you enjoy doing, hamburgers, hot dogs, bring a side. Church will do drinks. We'll have a little place if you... to help support the hamburgers and hot dogs. We'll give you the scoop on all of that too next week, but just want you to get it down. If you love doing it and it's really cool, we'll have games and you enjoy sitting out there and just having fun with each other. We can do it how many times throughout the summer? As many as you want. If you're not into it and you don't want to come, it's not going to bother me. I'm going to the Outback. And I will get what I can't get when I'm with you. And I'll probably charge you for it too, which I never charge. Okay. So we will come out. We'll have a fun time. We'll have a lot of good times. So we'll do that Wednesday. So, guests, thank you for worshiping with us. May God be with you. May you have a wonderful, beautiful weekend with whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. And these two beautiful ladies, Meg and Sarah, are going to be traveling to Japan, right? This week, and they will be gone for 5 weeks. So as you go, we're praying for you and thinking about you and in any way that we can help Mike along the way and bless him. We want to do that. We look forward to you coming back. All right? Let's pray. After we pray, we'll sing and be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us expose ourselves to the truth. We all need it. We all have places in our life that we just have to release to you. And this is such a day, this is such a moment, and this is a place where we do release something to you. We can't make this church a success. We were never called to do that, but we can allow you to have full freedom in it, and nothing would ever stop what could and what would happen and will happen, because we're open to your Spirit and you're working among us and you're working through us and you are energizing, and we are just learning how to walk with each other, to hear each other, to listen to each other, to love each other in new ways and deeper ways, support each other. And Father, as all of that begins to happen, we thank you that whatever the story is for Ivy is a story that you hold in your hands. We don't hold it in ours. And you will deliver it as you see that we are open to having it live among us. So thank you for this day and for our commitment and our desire to work out the salvation you've given us. We give our thanks in Jesus' name.